Who's had a great time on Fats? So not many people. I'll ask one more time. Who's had a great time on Fats? Who's had an okay time? Yeah, okay. Who's had a bad time? One hand went up. Okay, that's not too bad. That's good odds. Tell your friends next year that there was only one person who came on Fat and had a bad time. And just don't invite Lachlan Freeboard back. Now, we've had a great time each morning as we've looked at the Bible, and I hope you've been challenged as we've looked at the Bible each night. And I guess this is really the summary of everything that we've done, not just on the night talks this year, but from the night talks last year. If you missed the ones last year, remember on the first night we spent about 5 minutes just quickly recapping. But in lots of ways, this is a summary of everything that we've done. Now, we live in a world that's riddled with temptation. We live in a world that's riddled with temptation. Everywhere you look, there are temptations. Everywhere you look, there are temptations to worship idols rather than worship the true and living God. Everywhere you look, there are temptations to worship the idol of self. The way our society encourages us to think is that we worship ourselves. The idol of stuff. The idol of sex. The idol of celebrity. The idol of sport. The idol of success. Everywhere you look. Everywhere you go. Every context you'll be in between now and when you die or when Jesus will return. You will struggle to not worship idols. You'll be tempted to do that. You'll be tempted to put other things before Jesus. But we've said each night that what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has Jesus as number one. A Christian is someone who has Jesus as number one. Not sex as number one. Not self as number one. Not celebrity as number one. Not sport as number one. Not anything else in all of the heavens and the earth to be number one but Jesus. That's what a Christian is. But all over the place, there's things that will trip us up. There's things that tempt us to not let God be God, to not let Jesus be God, and to worship other things as God instead of the true and living God. The question that we've asked each night, what has it been? Who will be your God? Who will be your God? Will it be some idol, or will it be Jesus? Will it be anything else, or will it be Jesus? And so I guess the question tonight is, again, the biggest question is, who's going to be your God? Who will be your God? But the big question tonight is, if you're serious about being a Christian, you need to be serious about the fact that you will struggle. There will be temptations. You will be tempted to turn back to the old life. You will be tempted to be selfish. You will be tempted to be worshipping idols in all sorts of different ways. And so the big question tonight is, what is it that's going to help you to turn from idols in your life and to keep turning? To keep making sure that you're facing Jesus. To keep making sure that you're worshipping Him. What is it? What is it that's going to help you to turn from idols in your life? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God would help us now as we finish these things off. I'm going to pray that He'd help us to concentrate. And I'm going to pray that He'd speak mightily as we listen to a whole bunch of verses together tonight. How about you pray with me? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You once again that we can gather tonight. Thank You for the fun that we can have. We thank You for the stories that we can share. We thank You for the songs that we can sing. We thank You for the great memories that are being formed right now. But we thank You that You're a God who speaks. We thank You that in Your word, the Bible, we have Your very voice. And we ask tonight, Father, that You would help us, that we would hear Your word, that we would heed Your word, that You'd help us to concentrate upon it, and that Your Spirit would change us in response to the words that we hear tonight. Please, we pray that You'd help us to understand tonight who our God is and who we are going to worship. Please be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just for the next couple of minutes, I want to do a bit of a recap just on where we've been. And I'm simply going to read out a couple of statements and read out some Bible verses. There's a few Bible verses, so you don't need to look them up. We've put them on the screen, but you might want to jot them down so you can chase them up later and reflect upon them more after camp. The very first idol that we looked at last year, and I reminded you again of on Wednesday night, was the idol of self. And so we talked about how it's not all about me. We talked about how we are to turn from the idol of self to worship Jesus. We talked about how we are not at the center of the universe. Who's at the center of the universe? Jesus is at the center of the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of the universe. And Colossians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 says, "And Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." What does that say about how you now need to live if you're a Christian? You no longer live for yourself. You no longer worship the idol of self. You worship Jesus, your King, who died upon a cross, who conquered death and rose again. That was talk number one last year. It's not all about me. We're encouraged to turn from the idol of self and to worship Jesus, our King, who died and rose again. The second one last year, we talked about serving one master. Okay, and we were talking about turning from the idol of stuff, money, possessions, the things you have, the things you own, the things you accumulate. And we talked about two horses with one bum just doesn't work. That's what the horse in the background is, by the way. It's a wild stallion. You see, according to Matthew 6:24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot have two masters. You cannot live a double life. You cannot be a Christian on a Friday night at youth group, a Christian maybe in your G team on Friday Arvo or Sunday morning. Maybe you come to church as well on a Sunday night. So you're a Christian maybe for 7 hours a week. Maybe you might even do a couple of quiet times, maybe once or twice a week. You're a Christian for 8 hours a week, but then you're a Christian for, you're not a Christian, you're not living as a Christian, you don't think about Jesus, you don't think about God, you don't treat him as your master, you're living as something else, you're worshipping some other type of idol, whether it's stuff, whatever it might be. We need to be those who serve one master. Tonight, this week, this year, as soon as possible, you need to decide, is it going to be some idol? Is it going to be the idol of stuff and money and possessions, things that are fading away, things that will not last into eternity? Or is it going to be Jesus? Is it going to be the creator of the universe? Who's going to be your master? Some cash that's going to burn up, or Jesus who lives forever? So the second one was serving one master. We're encouraged to turn from the idol of self. The third one, which if you weren't here last year, in juniors this morning and in seniors this morning, we talked about, I'll say it again, in juniors this morning and seniors this morning, we talked about,
sex.
We'll try it one more time, in juniors this morning and seniors this morning, we talked about,
sex.
There you go, you guys just said the S word, I didn't say it, okay, I didn't say it, we talked about sex, I've said it now. Last year we spent a fair bit of time, one of the nights, reflecting on sex. We reflected on the way that society presents sex, the way that people view sex, the way that people do sex, and how is that? It's not the way that God wants for sex. God's not against sex. God's all for it. He made it. And he made it for its proper expression where? Within marriage, between a man and a woman. God made it. He's not against sex. He made it and it is a good thing. But when you do it the world's way, it's not a good thing. It's not how God created it to be. And so in our society, there's a temptation to worship sex. On the billboards, on your MySpace page, there might even be some dodgy ads that have some type of sexual innuendo in them. In the newspaper, on the news, even in PG-rated things, there's lots of innuendo. Even in some of those G cartoons that you watch at the movies, even some of those have some type of innuendo that you're not supposed to understand, but your parents will get, so it gives them something funny to laugh at while they're watching Disney. You see, the third thing we looked at last year was that, like the world says, please yourself, do what you want, sex what you want, whatever you want to do, just be happy. We talked about, just like we talked about this morning, we need to be those who are on about pleasing who? Not me, not my sinful nature, but Jesus. We're to be those who please God. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, we looked at it this morning. It says, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. The point in that passage this morning, the point what we looked at last year when we talked about the idol of sex, is that rather than pleasing yourself, you're going to be pleasing God. One of the really encouraging things is, just like the church in Thessalonica, I know that so many of you are pleasing God in the way that you view these things. You're saying no to the temptations of the world. You're saying no to the way that your friends at school view sex, and you're viewing it like God wants you to view it. You're living the way God wants you to live. Can I encourage you, like Paul does to the Thessalonians, keep doing it more and more. Keep pleasing Him more and more. In juniors this morning, we talked about a champion Christian. Champions, what do champions do? If they break a world record, even though no one else can beat them, what do they keep doing? They keep trying to push it higher or drop it lower, depending on if it's a bar or if it's a time. Christians, don't ever be content that you've made it, that I'm now perfect and I'm fantastic and I don't need to worry about sin. I don't need to worry at all. No, you need, if you're going well, fantastic. But keep pushing on. Keep seeing what pleases the Lord. See what pleases God. And don't bow down to the idol of sex. Bow down to Jesus and seek to please Him. The fourth thing that we looked at this on Wednesday night. We talked about setting your mind on things above and turning from the idol of celebrity to worship the true and living God. What did we talk about when we talked about celebrity? Well, it's a whole bunch of things. Basically, it's worshipping other people. Often they're famous people. So it might be actors or actresses or musicians, your favourite band. It might be other types of celebrities. It might even be other Christians. We can sometimes worship some really, they're like super Christians. We often might even worship them rather than worshipping Jesus. We're not to worship other people. We're not to worship Hollywood. We're not to worship those things. We're to worship Jesus. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with Him in glory. Remember, we talked about how we are so closely connected to Jesus that when He died, it was as if we were strapped to Him. When He was buried, it was as if we were strapped to Him. As He's raised again, it's as if we're strapped to Him. If you're a Christian, your whole life and identity is not wrapped up with who you are now, but it's who you are now in Jesus, in the heavenly realms. And that when we talked about on Wednesday night, the need just to step back and raise your eyes, raise your hearts, raise your minds and set them clearly on Jesus, not on celebrities, not on pop culture, not on Hollywood, not on rock stars, but on Jesus. Set your mind on things above. And turn from the idol of celebrity. Turn from the idol of worshipping people that aren't Jesus. The thing we looked at a couple of nights ago, we talked about how godliness lasts forever. And I encourage you to turn from the idol of sport and leisure and pastimes and so forth and to worship Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, what did it say? It said, for physical training is of some value. What was the word for some?
Little.
What was another word?
Puny.
The word for some there is really just the idea of puny. Physical training is of value, okay? Get out. If you just spend all your day and all your holidays behind computers, go out and do some exercise. Join a sporting team. Learn 10-pin bowling or golf or a real sport. What's the verse say for physical training? It is of some value, though it's puny value. But godliness, what does it have value for? For all things. It holds promise both for the present life and the life to come. Godliness lasts forever. Sport, trophies, sporting memories, as great as they might be, they won't last forever. The things that will last forever are the things to do with God, are the things to do with godliness, are the things to do with living for Jesus and waiting for Jesus. Sport's good. Do exercise. Godliness is so much better. If you train hard for a sport, you make sure that you are training even harder to be a Christian, to be a godly Christian. If you're getting up at 4 in the morning to go swimming, you make sure you spend just as many hours at the end of the day, even more, training to be godly. Godliness lasts forever. Let me encourage you to turn from the idol of sport and to worship the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And last night, the final one, we talked about not loving the world. We talked about not getting wrapped up in the things of here and now. We talked about turning from the idol of success. We talked about turning from the idol of school. We didn't say that you ought not to do schoolwork. Please don't go home and say that I've said that. You ought to do schoolwork. You ought to work hard at school. But that's not your God. In the end, whatever your HSC paper says, life can go on. That is not your God. Succeeding in a career one day, having a dream job one day, having the dream everything and just being captain successful. It means nothing in the big picture of eternity. Have a look at what 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 said. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." You see, when we get wrapped up with career, when we get wrapped up with what mark we get in the HSC, what mark we get in our Year 7 end of year report, when we focus so much on those things, what are we doing? We're loving the world. We're loving the things of this world. It's not wrong to go well at those things, but when that becomes your God, it's called idolatry. You're in love with this world, and the love of the Father has nothing to do with you. If school, if success, if your career one day comes before Jesus, if Jesus is no longer number one, maybe he's number two or three, he needs to be number one. Your career, your schoolwork cannot come number one. Remember we talked about last night, what's going to be written on your tombstone? And we talked about that story of the tombstone that had Joe Bloggs. He was an accountant. He was an accountant. So what? He was good at maths. He knew a bit of algebra. He was a bit nerdy. If that's all his life amounted to, what a waste. What a waste of a life. And I encourage you to think about what you want on your tombstone. How do you want to be remembered by your grandchildren? He was that bad grandfather because he just kept on working and paid no attention to the family. He was a good accountant, made lots of money, he gave us cool things. Or do you want to be remembered as someone who was a Christian on your tombstone, turned from idols, served the living and true God, waited for Jesus, now is with him in glory? What a good tombstone that would be. Who cares what your career was when you're with Jesus forever in heaven? You've got the six things that we've looked at. I encourage you to turn from the idol of self, turn from the idol of stuff, turn from the idol of sex, turn from the idol of celebrity, turn from the idol of sport, turn from the idol of success. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. All the people all around you are worshipping everything but Jesus. There's more than six things in the list of things that people idolize. There's more than six things in the list of things that people put before Jesus. It's going to be hard. But 1 Thessalonians, which we've been looking at this week, has a great example of a group of people who have turned away. And so from chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 9, it says, "They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." People turn from idols all the time. People become Christian all the time. There are millions of Christians on our planet today. Millions of people who have turned away from so many idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for Jesus. Jesus, our rescuer, who rescues us from the coming wrath. You know what? It's going to be hard, but you can turn from idols. You can serve Jesus. You can wait for him. And so the question from the start was, what will help you to turn? What will help you to serve? What will help you to wait? And it starts with a J and ends with an E's. Anyone got any ideas? It's Jesus. What is it? What is it that's going to help us to turn away from idols, the daily temptations, the daily struggles that you will have? It's Jesus. And do you know what it is about Jesus? It's seeing him clearly. It's seeing Jesus for who he is. It's seeing him as the creator of the universe who came down and walked on our planet. He lived the life that we didn't live. He lived the sinless life. He died the death that we deserved. He was buried. He conquered death. He did the absolute smackdown on death. He rose in victory and he gives to those who trust in him life forever. Brothers and sisters, reflect daily upon Jesus. See him clearly. See him clearly. Colossians chapter 1, hopefully you've still got it open. John read it for us before. It is a marvelous passage. Juniors, we've just looked at this for a whole term, these five verses. There is so much in there. I'm not going to say everything that we've talked about in the last term. Read this passage. Look at the things that it says about Jesus. Jesus, verse number 15, Colossians chapter 1. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God, the firstborn over all creation. He has supremacy over everything. For by Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is our creator. We weren't just made by him, but the whole reason why we exist is for him. Verse number 16, verse number 17. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is supreme. He's the one that keeps everything together. He keeps the planet spinning. He keeps your heart beating. Verse number 18, he is the head of the body, the church. He is our head. He is our captain. He is our ruler. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus is the supreme one in all of the universe. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. As Jesus walks on the planet, you could have met God. As we meet Jesus now in the Bible, we are meeting God. All the fullness of God dwells in him. Verse 20, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See Jesus clearly. He is the one who has reconciled us to himself. It's through Jesus' physical body, through his blood shed on the cross, that we are brought from death to life, that we are brought from a hopeless situation to a hopeful situation. We are brought from condemnation and judgment and hell and being offside with God to being in a right relationship with the creator of the universe. The person that we've said get lost to reaches out his hand, gets a nail pierced in it, dies in our place. Was it when we were his friends? No, Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says that Jesus died for us when we were sinners. When we were far from him, he's reached out and brought us back through his blood shed on the cross. I really want to encourage you tonight to see Jesus clearly. Because you see, when you see Jesus clearly, when you see what he did, when you see what he's done, you see what he's still doing, and when you see that he's going to return one day, that is what ought to drive you to turn away from idols and to serve the living and true God and to wait for Jesus to return. Quickly turn to Philippians. It's the book before Colossians. Philippians chapter 2. Another marvelous passage. We could have gone to a whole bunch of passages tonight that just help us to really lift our eyes and lift our hearts and lift our minds to see how magnificent, to see how splendid Jesus is. But Philippians chapter 2 is another one that we're going to very quickly look at. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What was his attitude like? Let's check it out. Verse 6, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death upon a cross. Here is Jesus, who is in very nature God. He is God himself. What does he do? He humbles himself. The creator of the universe, who's always been, steps onto our planet, which is broken, steps onto our planet, which is marred. Why is it marred? Why is it broken? It's because of our sin. Because of the way we've treated God. Jesus steps onto our planet. He humbles himself. God himself steps onto our planet. He takes on the very nature of a servant. He's made just like one of us. He was just like one of us. Tempted in every way, just like one of us. But he didn't sin. He didn't succumb to the temptations we succumb to. And so, verse 8, when found in appearance as a man, not only does he humble himself to become a man, he humbles himself to obedience, to death upon a cross. The creator of the universe loves you so much that he came down and he humbled himself. in the Lord Jesus Christ, walked on our planet, lived the perfect life, and died in your place, in my place. If you want to turn from idols, just keep checking out Jesus. If you haven't heard enough of Jesus this week, go home for the rest of the holidays and just read the Bible. Read Matthew, then read Mark, then read Luke, then read John, then start again. And read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Betsy. No, there is no Betsy, just send it your way. Read the Bible, check out Jesus. And one more thing. In Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 9. Look at what Jesus is like. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. That is, Jesus, the one who humbled himself. Jesus, the one who became a servant. Jesus, the one who became obedient to death upon a cross. He is now exalted high to the highest place. And Jesus is given the name that is above every name. Above every idol that we can think of and in our sinfulness create. Above every little substitute God that we want to create and worship instead of Jesus. Jesus is above every single name. Verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, this Jesus, who didn't look particularly attractive, who died a shameful death, who died in a horrific death, who died a death that he didn't deserve, who died a death that was reserved for the lowest of the low, this Jesus, he is now the exalted one. He is now the one whose name is above every name, and one day every knee will bow. One day every tongue will confess that he is the Lord, that he is the true and living God. Every tongue, every knee will confess that. Let me encourage you to confess that now, to see him as the highly exalted one, the one whose name is above everything. Let me encourage you to see Jesus clearly. See, it's as you see Jesus clearly, you won't want to worship some God substitute. Why would you want to worship like something that's made like a soccer ball? Why would you want to worship some golf sticks? Why would you want to worship your superannuation or your pay packet or your four-unit maths? Why would you want to worship something like that when you see that Jesus is the one whose name is above every name? Jesus is the highly exalted one. It's all about Jesus. If you haven't yet worked it out, life's not about you. Life's not about fun. Life's not about cricket. Life's not about success. Life's not about buying the latest glossy magazine. Life is about Jesus. It's all about him. Everything is about him. You were made for him. You were saved by him. You were saved for him. The world revolves around Jesus, not you, not any other little thing that you can put in his place. He is the name above all names, and he deserves it. He is worthy of all our praise. As we close, I want to encourage you to worship him. If it's all about Jesus, if he's the true and living God, don't worship anything that's second best or third best or 1,000,000th best. Worship the true and living God. Worship the God who has loved you so much that he would shed his blood on a cross, that he would take upon himself not that which he deserved, but that which you deserve. Worship him. What does it mean to worship him? It means to bow down to him. It means to give your whole life over to him. Like the whole idea of waiting for Jesus is you're eagerly waiting for him to return. You're so consumed by the fact that Jesus is coming. You cannot wait for him to return. You long for it. You live for it. You talk about it. What do you talk about the most? They say that the thing that we talk about the most is probably our gospel. Are you talking about Jesus, or are you talking about little things here in this world? Or are you talking about the most splendid person to ever walk the planet? The creator of the universe come down as a man. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you tonight to see Jesus clearly. It's all about him. It's not about you. Worship him. Worship him alone. Now, my guess is that here tonight, there's a whole bunch of different people. As we heard before, we've got some pretty wacky people who tell some pretty funny stories and some pretty weird things that happened to you over the last couple of days. good times. Lots of different people here. But I've sort of worked out that tonight, I've worked out a bit of a category. There's at least four types of people here in the building here tonight. And the first type of people that are here tonight are Christians who are fighting. That is, Christians who know that there's a whole bunch of temptations, that the world's got heaps of temptations, but they're continually fighting to say, no, 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 I'm going to worship Jesus. I know there's stacks of you here tonight who are worshipping Jesus and are fighting with all your might and all the might that the Lord Jesus gives to you to say no to idols, to turn away from them and to trust in Him. I know there's heaps of you who are like that. Before fat, you were fighting idols. After fat, you'll keep fighting to worship Jesus and Jesus alone. There's the first type of people that are here. The second type of people who are here are Christians who really need to start thinking about the priority of Jesus in their life. And that might well be you. Maybe fat this week. Maybe fat over the last 2 years. Maybe it might have been Bible study over the last little while. But whatever it might have been, maybe you've actually realised that, look, I'm more often than not, I'm not worshipping Jesus like I should. I'm worshipping, insert whatever, there. So the first type of people are Christians who are fighting. Second type of people are Christians who, yeah, really need to start fighting to not worship idols, but to worship Jesus. The third type of people that I think are in the room here are people who are either new Christians, that is, you've just become a Christian, maybe you became a Christian earlier today, maybe yesterday, maybe you prayed a prayer on Monday, or whatever was the first day, Thursday morning you might have prayed a prayer, maybe you've become a Christian just in the last few weeks. Maybe you're about to become a Christian now. Okay, you can be in that category if you want to become a Christian now. If this week you've worked out, really, I'm not worshipping Jesus, I'm worshipping some other substitute. Maybe tonight you might become a Christian, and so you fit in that category there as a new Christian. The fourth type of person here are those who know they're not Christian, or they're just not quite sure. And let me encourage you, if that's you here tonight, you don't have to become a Christian. I'm not going to force you to become a Christian. I want to encourage you to keep coming to youth group. I want to encourage you to keep reading about Jesus. I want to encourage you to keep asking questions. Okay, Jesus is the most significant person ever. He is the creator of the universe. If you're not a Christian, let me urge you to pursue Jesus further. If you're just not quite sure what a Christian is, talk to your leader tonight. Come to youth group, talk to your leader throughout the term. Join a G team, all those things. There's the four types of people who are here. You got the four? Just have a think for a moment. Which one do you think you are? Are you the Christian who, before fat, you knew the reality of these things, you knew the reality of worshipping idols, and you've been doing your best by God's strength to worship Jesus? Okay, maybe you're one of those. And that's great. Can I encourage you, like Paul does to the Thessalonians, just to do it more and more? Okay, it's not going to get easier. You're going to have to keep fighting with all your might and with all the might that God gives you to not worship idols. If you're number two, if you're someone who has worked out that you really need to start fighting for the last 6 months, for the last year, maybe you've grown up in a Christian family and you've never really taken these things seriously, you've always known about Jesus, can I encourage you to start fighting and take seriously worshipping Jesus? The third set of people, I'm actually going to ask you in a moment to become a Christian, the third set of people. You might have just become one sometime this week, or you might become one right now. Maybe tonight's the night that you say, I give up worshipping God's substitutes. I give up worshipping idols. I'm going to worship the true God. And let me encourage you to do that. You've heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus. You've heard about what He's done for you. And it would be fantastic if there's people here tonight, or people over the last few days, who are ready to become Christian. The fourth type of people, let me encourage you to keep pursuing things. What we're going to do is I'm going to sort of pray for each of these sets of people. Okay, so just have a think for a moment. Don't talk. Which one do you think you are? Have a look down at the, look up at the piece of wall. I was going to say piece of paper. The piece of paper is in front of me. The wall up there. Which one do you think you are? Don't talk. Don't fidget. Don't move around. Which one are you? Because I'm going to pray for each of you where you're at. But what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to invite number two and number three to stand up. Why do I want you to stand up? I think it's a great opportunity to really pinpoint a time in your life, either when you've gone, look, I really need to, if I'm number two, I really need to start taking Jesus seriously and have Him as number one. maybe tonight, you've been a Christian, okay? You've grown up in a Christian family. You've always known about Jesus, okay? You've always trusted him. You've always loved him. You really realise that you need to start fighting against the world, okay? If that's you, I'll encourage you in a moment to stand up. At the same time as people who this week have either become a Christian just recently, or maybe tonight, if you want to become a Christian. It's a fantastic opportunity to pinpoint that tonight was the night that you turned from idols to serve the living and true God and wait for Jesus from heaven. Or tonight's the night that you sort of like recommit your life and say, I want to fight. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. And those who think they're number two, who are Christians, who need to fight, those who think that they would love to become a Christian, can you stand up and I'm going to pray. For those who are Christians, who know they need to start fighting, you don't have to stand up. You may already be fighting. You may not be ready to become a Christian. If you're number one and number four, it's okay to stay seated. But I'm going to pray. If everyone could bow their heads, close their eyes, and if you agree, say amen. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the last week. We thank you for the privilege that it's been to hear from your word. And Father, I pray for the four types of people in the room tonight. Father, I thank you for the Christians who are here. And I thank you for those who before fat were fighting and after fat will keep fighting. We thank you so much for them. Father, I thank you for the non-Christians who are here, who have been brought along to fat or have been coming to our youth group. Those who may just not quite be sure. Father, I pray for them as they sit there right now that they would continue to reflect upon Jesus and they continue to seek him out and that in your kindness you'd reveal yourself to them. Father, I thank you for the second type of people that are here tonight and are standing in our midst. Father, I praise you for the work of your Spirit in their life this week. I praise you that you have worked in them in such a way that whenever they've heard about Jesus, whether they've grown up in a Christian family, whether they've become a Christian in recent years, Father, thank you that tonight and this week they've been encouraged to fight temptations, to fight idolatry, to fight the things of this world. Father, I thank you for them and I pray that you would be with them and give them strength. And Father, I rejoice with the angels in heaven for those who have stood up tonight to indicate that they want to become Christian, whether that's happened yesterday, whether that's happening right now. And Father, we all pray that you would help us to be sorry for our sin and particularly those tonight who are confessing this for the first time, that their confession would be real. Father, we want to thank you on their behalf for Jesus who died on the cross and was raised again. And Father, we want to ask that you would please help them, and indeed all of us, to keep living for Jesus. Father, we thank you for all of these people. I pray for all of them that are here tonight, and pray that this wouldn't just be some mountaintop experience, but that it would be something real and lasting, that we would continue to turn from idols, that we continue to serve and worship the true and living God, and that we continue to wait for Jesus. And it's in his amazing name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite everyone else to stand up with those people, and we're going to sing together some magnificent songs about worshiping Jesus.